Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
This song, this song is, thank you, Chris, thank you very much. It's just speaking to me because we can behave as if when we come to church, we come into God's presence. Like he's not anywhere else, he's in this room. When, in actual fact, especially if we belong to Christ, we're never out of his presence. And I'd just like to read a well-known psalm. I'm sure we're all, a lot of us are familiar with it. Lord, you have searched me and you know me. Psalm 139. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there's a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I can't attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will cover, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. Even in the darkness, it's not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. You can't get out of God's presence. That's it.
Thanks for that, Frank. Thank God for his praises. Psalm 103 from verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget his benefit." He's been there all the time. The Bible also says that before you were formed in your mother's womb, the Lord knew you. He did not just know you, but he knew you by name already. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his promises. Times in the hard times, bless your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forget not his promises, forget not his benefit, even the things that the enemy meant for evil. For the Lord has turned it for good for you and for me and our families. Thank you, Lord. Even as we look forward to the year coming, thank you for being there. Thank you for you have seen 2020 already before us. And we are grateful that you're already there. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Father, the one who was, who is, and who is to come, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We worship your majesty. We give you all the glory, all the praise you more than deserve. Be thou glorified, be thou exalted in this place. Even as we hear your word, we pray for Josh and we ask, Lord, that you speak through him to us this morning, and let every heart be lifted, let every soul receive a touch of the Lord this morning. Be thou glorified. Thank you for when we pray, you hear us. And you answer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, Bethel. I'm going to get down with you guys today. Is that okay? Can we have that second song, Holy Spirit? Could you put the words of that back up? God's been speaking to me a lot recently about, well, lots of things. Some of them I can't share with you, some of them I can. Maybe the next one. Frank was completely right, Psalm 139, we can't escape God's presence. If we're a follower of Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit living within you, you can't get any closer to God than that. You just can't. However, sometimes we feel like we're really disconnected from God, which sort of doesn't make sense if he's here with us all the time, does it? Sometimes we can feel really, really distant from God. And for me, when I was singing this song, what this God's been speaking to me about is what it's like to open myself up to his presence and let him in. Puts a whole new perspective on my life, my walk as a Christian, a believer. Really, really, and it's been the last few months. It started probably in November when we were at Nashville. Some different things we were hearing and some conversations we were having. And really, just this take your breath away feeling that you're in the presence of God. God doesn't do dull. We've heard that said so many times before. I think we like dull, though. Because dull's safe and dull's predictable. And we know what's going to happen next. I really truly believe that God doesn't want to do dull. And he's taking me on this journey at the moment of this kind of almost continual excitement of being in his presence. And I'm not like it all the time, but and I keep coming back to this. And I woke up early this morning at 5:45. My alarm wasn't set for anywhere near that time. I thought, I'll try and go back to bed, but I couldn't go back to bed. God had other ideas. So I went downstairs and I was praying, and I just felt this awesome rush of his presence over me. And praying for lots of different, praying for some of you guys, praying for today. And that kind of leads into what we want to do today. I'm sorry, it's still Christmas. Nice to see that we have still some Christmas jumpers on the back row. Thank you. I should have worn the same one, shouldn't I? We could have been. I tried to get ahead of myself before Christmas, and I thought, well, I've got the carol service, I've got Christmas morning, I've got today, we were going away as well, so I tried to, before Christmas, get ahead of myself. I was feeling really proud of myself. I had everything planned out, 3 messages, done, never like that, but I thought, I'm feeling really, really chuffed with myself. Until yesterday morning, we've been up in North Yorkshire the last couple of days with visiting my in-laws, Holly's parents, and if you've had little children, you have little children, you'll know how this works. Taking a shower, we've been having a bit of relaxing mornings, and I hear a knock on the door. It's Holly's voice, can Amelia come and go to the loo? There's an outside toilet, I was thinking, but it's okay. So I sort of stepped out the shower, sort of tried not to get the floor to it, unlocked the door. And before then, I had some worship music playing on my phone. That got interrupted. Great. Worship music in the shower is awesome. If you haven't done it before, I can highly recommend it. It's the only time that a minute of peace you get in our house is if you're in the shower with the door locked. So Amelia came and went to the loo. Luckily, they have a, don't worry, they've got a fully shower curtain that goes all around the bath. So she was in there, going to the loo, went out and did her stuff. I just felt God saying, well, now you've been interrupted from doing what you want to do. I want you to listen to me and I want you to pray. And until then, I had it all figured out what we were going to do today. What we were going to talk about, had it all figured out. I can show you, it's here just in case. This is how my notes tend to look for a Sunday morning, and that can range from 20 minutes to 45, depending on what, you guys know how that works. That's kind of, unfortunately we're not doing that today. So I felt God saying, let's do something different. Which, because it's Christmas, and we all like Christmas quizzes and things like that, this is not a Christmas quiz. It means this is going to be a bit more interactive than some of you are probably comfortable with. But we're going to run with it, and we're going to see where God takes us. I feel that the Lord has got something for us. He spoke to me yesterday. And this is how it works, and I tell this to all of our students, and often on here on a Sunday morning, I don't get up and speak. I think you need to hear. Often it's what God's been speaking to me about in the week, and it's really been way hard. And for the last 24 hours, or so this has, so we're going to do this instead. Those of you who are early risers and have joined us at 6 o'clock on a Monday, you'll recognize some of what we did this morning. So, okay. I want to focus on two things today. That word free in that verse really struck me. I want to talk about, if we can, freedom and surrender. We love the idea of freedom as Christians, don't we? We like the idea of being free. Unfortunately, I think too many times we think ourselves as freedom fighters. You know, Che Guevara of the Christian world, we're freedom fighters fighting for our own freedom. But in the topsy-turvy and upside-down world of God, not that God's upside down, but that we're upside down from him, God said, you're not to fight for your freedom. The way we have freedom as Christians, the way we have freedom in our own lives, in our spiritual lives, in our personal lives, is completely the opposite. The way we have freedom, I'm convinced, is through surrender. Through complete and utter 100% surrender to our Lord Jesus in every area of our life. And I want to look at some of that, if we can, this morning. First of all, we need to pray for Lily, which is Keith's daughter and son-in-law, a fostering little girl called Lily, who's quite seriously poorly in hospital. If you get the Bethel news chain, you'd have seen about that. She's still quite poorly in hospital. They should be in Portsmouth. They had to come back because Keith is poorly, and Keith's at home, so we need to pray for Keith. We need to pray for some of our older members who can't be out with us, especially when it's cold and wet as well. But above all, we need to pray that we open our hearts to the Holy Spirit this morning, I think. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you and praise you that you are so amazing. Give us a sense of awe and wonder of you, Jesus, this morning. Lord, we can't escape from your presence, Lord, even though we try, no matter how hard we try. Give us a real sense of your presence in our lives. Lord Jesus, excite us once again by who you are. Help us to look adoringly into your beautiful face this morning. Holy Spirit, will you challenge, will you encourage us, will you energize us? Christmas period, will you just energize us with your power and your might and your strength this morning? We ask you would just do what you do best and just work amongst us freely as we open our hearts and minds to you, Jesus, today. Yeah, we thank you for all that you've done. Give us a heart of thankfulness and praise above all in your name. Amen. So to do what we're going to do, you're all going to need a piece of paper. And you can blame Ian for this because Ian said 2 weeks ago, well, what does that look like in real life? Practically, what does that look like? So practically, we're going to do some of this stuff. So Jason, could you hand out a few pieces of paper on that side? And if you need a pen, Jason's got some pens as well. Thank you. You didn't know he did. That'd be awesome. Thank you. And I'll hand out some pieces of paper on this side. If you thought you were going to be able to go to sleep on the back row today, I'm sorry. We need to do some things to keep you awake today. Has everyone got paper and something to write with? So if this is your piece of paper, start writing across the top of here something you're thankful for. It's amazing how difficult that can be sometimes, isn't it? As believers, we struggle to write something that we're thankful for. Make it real. You could put Jesus and put a big thing like that in his son. That's good, because we can all put that. Specific to your life would be even better. Something in your life you're thankful for. Maybe it's mom and dad. Maybe it's grandparents. Or just think of something that you're thankful for. If you're struggling to write it down. Are you okay with that? Now I want you to look at that and I want you to read it to yourself 3 or 4 times. What that thing is. Or those things are. Maybe you've got a huge long list. That'd be great. If you've got a little long list, please share it. Read it back to yourself a few times. Just in your head. In just now, I want you to thank God in your head, praying quietly, or you can do it out loud, for the thing you've written down on your piece of paper. Can you do that? Just for a moment, we'll just pause. This is not your average service, is it? Some of you are getting twitchy and nervous already. Let's see what comes next. How do you define that exercise? Our hearts on thankfulness to start with, it changes our outlook, changes our perspective, changes our prayer life, changes our attitude towards each other, towards ourselves, face. It softens our heart when we come to God, first of all, thanking him, not just for who he is, but actually what he's done for me personally. Thanking him for the things that he's given me. Thanking him for the many blessings that he's bestowed on me. No matter what trial or what storm I'm facing, there's always things to be thankful for. And it changes my heart and it changes my perspective. I find when I do that, my prayers are a lot less lists of God, can you do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. Bless me in this, 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 this. I find when I do that, when I come to God, first of all, in a heart of thankfulness and praise, that I'm actually, what I find myself more often doing is seeking his heart. And that's what prayer should really be about, is seeking God's heart. God's heart for me, for my life, for my family, for you guys, for those people that God's placed in my life. Keep that piece of paper because you're going to need it for something else later. I want to look with me, if you will, into Luke chapter 4. And I'm going to read from verse 19. This is the bit where it starts getting a bit more interactive, sorry. I'm going to read that passage. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. Finish verse 20, sorry. I'm sure this is a very familiar passage. Some people call it this Nazareth Manifesto. I'm going to focus, if you've got a Bible or you've got an electronic Bible or whatever, focus on the words in red, if you've got a red letter edition. The words of Jesus. I want to look at that specifically, and I want to take you through a journey for just for 5 or 10 minutes with what we do at 6 o'clock on a Monday morning and how we look at Scripture and what we do with Scripture. There's a couple of you I know in here. So what I want to do is, so that passage, those few verses there, I want us to have a think about what that passage says about God, first of all. Just that passage. Don't get all clever and theological with me. Just this passage. Don't cross-reference for now. Don't throw in other passages for now. Just this passage, just these few verses. What does it say about God in this passage? What can we glean from God? He sent. I'm just going to write this down. Someone else, there's lots in here. What does this passage say about God? Jesus is also God, by the way, just to throw that out there. You can just shout it out where you are. I don't fancy running around with a microphone, and there's not that many of us in here. Cares about the poor, okay? There's no wrong answer at this stage, by the way. I'm not going to call you a heretic. We're not going to throw you out of the church. Wants to bring change. Proclaims freedom. So shout again for me. Filled with power. There is a gospel. Okay? What else does it say about God? Heals the brokenhearted. Proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, okay? He's sovereign. Sovereign. Yep, okay. Opens the eyes of the blind. We could probably fill this whole page if we kept going on. He has a spirit. Can I just put spirit here, Jane, just to save us some time? Anoints, okay. I'm not sure if I spot that right, even though it's probably in front of me, sorry. No, I haven't. Ignore that. Ignore the extra N. Anything else? What else does it say about God? Sets you free. Proclaims freedom. Sets you free, yep. Yep. We could probably get a lot more out of that, but let's flip it over. Lots of great things. So, God, he sent, cares about the poor, wants to bring change, proclaims freedom. He's filled with power. There is a gospel. He heals the brokenhearted, proclaims the year of the Lord's favor. He's sovereign, opens the eyes of the blind, spirit of the Lord, and he anoints. Okay. What can we learn about people from this passage? What can we learn about people? I'm going to put this one. We have access. Okay. So as if we're poor prisoners and oppressors, seen by God. Okay. Yeah, okay. If people need sight, if they need freedom, then they're obviously either oppressed, people are oppressed, or blind to God. Yeah, okay. This is even harder at 6 o'clock in the morning, trust me. We did this 1 week, and we just took one verse. We took John 3:16, and we filled about a page and a half on both sides. Just one verse. And this is what we do on a Monday morning. We basically open God's word. It's not quite this. We do pray about it beforehand, and we come to a passage. We open up in prayer. We say what we're thankful for, and then we come and do this. And we look at actually, what does this passage say about God? What does this passage say about people? And there's a reason why I want to do this today on this passage in particular. But the reason why we do this on a Monday morning is study books are great. Books are awesome. But sometimes we can end up talking more about the author and what he's written rather than what he's written about. I find myself slipping into that. And sometimes I think I do that so then I don't have to deal with what's here. Sometimes when we come together in a life group or a Bible study setting. And whereas this is all we have. We have God's word and we go through this and it's, and some of you can, Chris and Paul have been there every week. These guys should get a medal, having to put up with me. And also, it's not dominated by one person. You're not just up there listening to someone either. So, here, God is sent. He cares about the poor. He wants to bring change, proclaims freedom. He sets you free, filled with power. There is a gospel, heals the brokenhearted, proclaims the year of the Lord's favor. He's sovereign, opens the eyes of the blind, spirit of the Lord. He anoints. We have access to all of this as people. We need him. We're blind to God. The poor, the prisoner, the oppressed, the blind are seen by God. That sort of goes back to that Psalm 139 a little bit, doesn't it? God knows you. God sees you. Cares about you so intensely. I don't think we even have a slightest... I think we have a small, minute grasp of that, if I'm honest. I think if we could live in that, how much God loves you, how much he cares for you, how intently his heart is broken for you. I think if we could just step into that just a little bit, our hearts would be filled with wonder and praise all day long. The bit especially that I want to focus on here is this bit. This bit, we don't do this on a Monday morning. I'm just doing this for your benefit. Proclaims freedom. Said at the beginning, For me, freedom and surrender are part of the same thing. If we want to experience freedom in Christ, we have to first surrender to him. And that's a word that we don't like, because as grown-ups we think we're in control of our own lives and our own situations, and I shouldn't have to surrender to anyone. Because the world tells me that I'm my own person and I have to fight for everything that's mine. And I should get it because I'm so worth it. I don't use L'Oreal, by the way. That's not an advert. But God says to get freedom, to experience real, true, meaningful, unexplainable freedom in your life, you first have to surrender. Think about those things, those few things there. I just want to take us through a few verses. If you've got a Bible, you can turn there with me. If you've got a Bible, turn with me to John chapter 8, if you would. I just want to read from verse 34 through to verse 36. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed." So without Jesus, we're slaves. Slaves to sin. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. How many of us, if we're honest with ourselves, you don't have to raise your hand, you can if you want to, feel free. If we're truly honest with ourselves, how many of us really feel free? Maybe we feel trapped. I grew up in the 80s, and there were 3 channels on our TV for some of the time. When we had enough 50p to put in the back of it so it could work. If any of you lived in a world of radio rentals in the 80s, you'll know what I'm talking about. But we had black and white movies, and all the black and white movies, there was always quicksand. I seem to remember every single black, there they were, there was quicksand. This is how they put tension into the film, there was quicksand. And they would go in it, and they'd be struggling, they'd say, don't struggle, because you'll sink faster. And someone across would lay a plank across or something, or occasionally someone's horse would go down or whatever. If any of you have ever seen that product of the 80s, that film, Neverending Story, where the guy goes through and his horse goes through and sinks into the mud, it's that kind of thing. How many of us actually feel like we're in quicksand? And we're fighting and we're scrabbling to get air, but we feel like actually in our lives, as believers, that we can never quite get out of the quicksand. We can never quite get free from all this stuff that's holding us back, this stuff that's holding us down. That's how a lot of my life has been, if I'm perfectly honest. I know in up here the promises of God. I up here what God says about freedom, but living it has been a completely different reality for me. And it's felt like I'm sinking all the time, and occasionally someone will chuck me a branch to hold on to, I'll get a breath, and then you go down again. But what Jesus says, he says, actually, if you want to experience that freedom, you've got to stop fighting. You've got to stop trying to drag yourself out of the muck in the mire, and you've just got to surrender. Second Corinthians 3:17 says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Galatians 5:1 tells us, "It is for freedom Christ has set us free." 1 Peter 2:16, Peter says, "We're to live as free men and women." Let me turn to Ephesians chapter 3. We'll start at verse 10. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. According to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. so we can experience freedom. The Son sets us free, we're free indeed. And we can approach God with freedom and confidence. How many of us, when we pray, expect God to do something? If we're truly honest with ourselves, think about how we pray. How often when we pray, do you expect God to turn up and deliver? A lot of my life, I'm too busy telling God what I want. If I'm honest, I've been too busy telling God what I want rather than allowing him space to turn up. And he's been dealing with me for some time, if I'm honest. I'm not there yet. But if we can approach God with freedom and confidence in who he is, just some of the things here, if we can approach God with freedom and confidence in who he is, means there's nothing holding us back when we approach God, because he holds nothing back either. I was listening to a podcast. I succumbed to the dark side and finally got myself an iPhone. People have been telling me I needed an iPhone for so long. Everyone else in my house had an iPhone, so when I upgraded my phone, I finally got an iPhone. It's really cool because that's where you are then. Fair enough. Holly, however, has that set to a tablet at home. So if I try to see where Holly is, it always says when I know she's not. So I have no idea where Holly is half the time. No, I do know where she is, but I've got an iPhone. And I got it because Holly and Ian had been telling me about podcasts. I'd never experienced podcasts. If you've not lived podcasts, you need to get there. Really, you really do. So we were traveling up and down, back and forth to North Yorkshire the last few days. And everyone else is doing their own thing in the car. Some people are asleep. The kids that I vowed we would never have a DVD player in the car have all now staring at tablets. But that's the generation we live in. When phones first came out, I said, I'm never going to get a mobile phone. Obviously, I don't know what I'm talking about a lot of time. But I was listening to a podcast by a guy called Roy Godwin. I don't know if any of you know who he is. Roy Godwin runs a retreat center called Faldy Brennan in North Wales. And that through that, God has set up a houses of prayer movement, similar to the 24/7 prayer room that we've got here. And I was listening to this podcast, and he said something really strange. And I think this is why we don't experience freedom in our lives. He was having this conversation with this guy, because podcasts are always two people having a conversation and pretending to laugh at each other's jokes, I've found, over the last few days. But he said, if you're angry with God, shout it out and let him know. I thought, ooh, I'm uncomfortable. I was brought into a church where you're not supposed to tell God you're angry with him. Or you're not allowed to tell God you're angry. Well, this is a bit uncomfortable for me with my upbringing. But he said, actually, shout at God and tell him you're angry. I think a lot of times we don't experience freedom because we're subtly angry with God. We're angry at God because this has happened in our lives. We're annoyed at God because he hasn't showed up when we wanted him to. We're annoyed at God sometimes because we haven't got what we wanted for Christmas. If you saw my furry slippers, they have changed my world if you were here on Christmas Day. But oftentimes, if we're honest with ourselves and honest with God, we're a bit angry with him. We're angry because things have happened in our life that we felt shouldn't have happened. And yet he says, if you follow me, you will suffer. And yet he says, pick up my cross daily and follow me. But we don't like it when these things happen. And some things happen because we live in a fallen world. Bad things happen because of sin. Bad things happen because of sin. We have sickness in this world because of sin. We have evil people roaming our streets because of sin, not because of God. And sometimes things happen because we live in a fallen, let's just face it, evil world. And stuff happens. But God's still there. But then we're angry with God because this stuff has happened. Or we're angry with God because we haven't got what we wanted. And I thought about that for a minute, and I paused the podcast because someone from the way back, a little voice was shouting at me from the way back, wanted to know how long to the service is. And we have a Sephira, so they're way back. I'm up here, noisy car. So they have to pass a message on to get to the front of the car. If you've ever had a car with a lot of kids, if you've got kids in the way back and they're saying, "When's the toilet?" Someone in the middle then gets annoyed because they have to take their headphones out and you're waiting for a row to happen, something to explode. And then they get, "Dad, when's the toilet?" So I send it back and it sends back. That's how we communicate as a family, really, not just in the Zafira. If you've ever had a Zafira. If you've never had kids or you've never had that as many kids as we have, we've got four, then you would know nothing about this. As an aside, Dave Bailey has an awesome, for those of you who work in the car industry, Dave Bailey has the best design for a people carrier ever. It's long and thin, and there's just seats. Five seats in a row, so the kids can never touch each other, and they can never pester each other, and they can never bother each other, and they can never say, "She's looking at me, he's looking at..." This isn't my family, by the way, we have the perfect family and perfect children. But anyway, we digress. But I stopped and thought about that for a minute, and I stopped the podcast. Tell God you're angry with him. He knows it already. He's not stupid. He knows you're annoyed at him. He knows you're cross with him. He knows you're not happy about X, Y, Z. And really, we go back to this word here that Frank said, picked out, really, sovereign. And when we are angry with God, what we're saying is that he's not enough. What we're saying is when we're cross with God and we get upset, and get out of shape with God, we're saying, "I don't actually believe you're sovereign and in control because you haven't done what I wanted you to do. Or this has happened in my life. Or I haven't got the stuff that I wanted." What I'm really saying is, what you've given me is second best. That's what I'm really saying. What you've given me, God, is second best when I'm cross with you because you haven't done X, Y, or Z. So we're talking about surrender. Think about surrender. We're getting there. Thank you for being patient. The other side of your paper, if you've been sensible like Chris and you folded it in half, or the bottom part for your paper, if you wrote it on the top, rotate it 180 degrees so it's the other side, or if you fold it in half, write it on the other side. Write this to yourself. So however you want it, just don't do it on the same side because you're going to be tearing the piece of paper in half in a minute. I know some of you will be creasing the seams and wanting to get perfect design. I want you to write something that you need to surrender to God on the other side. That could be a situation. It could be a person. It could be anything in your life that you need to surrender to God. And if you're not sure, spend 2 minutes asking him what that is, because there's bound to be something. Because those are the prayers God answers when we open ourselves. Okay, what is it in my life you want me to surrender to you? It's like if we ask God what for him to show the sin in your life. Trust me, he'll answer you then. So something that you need to surrender to God. Something, and this could be deep-seated. This could be painful. This could be something that you've been harboring for a long time. I don't know. Something you need to surrender to God. Something or someone that you can give to God. It's even better if it's something you've got no control over. Because some things we have control over and we need to get on and do it, don't we? Some things we actually are in our control to do. But something we need to surrender to God. There might be a lot of them. If there's more than one, write them down. While you're doing that, do you all believe that God answers prayer? Do all of us really, truly believe that God answers prayer? Not just in the head, this kind of thought concept that yes, God answers prayer, but do we actually really, truly, truly believe that God answers our prayers? Sometimes he answers them differently than we would have expected. Yes, he does. But does he answer prayer? Okay. So whatever you wrote in that paper, if you're still writing, I'll let you give you a minute. What I want you to do, because this is where the practical stuff comes in, is what does this mean in my life? You can say what you like. What does this mean in my life? I want you, if you've got it on the side or the top or the bottom, tear that half off. The things you've just said you're going to surrender to God, that God has said to you, you need to surrender. Tear it off, scrunch it up, put it on the floor. There's a little bit, however that is. That's a really good sound. I hope the recording's picking the sound of the paper up. Everyone will be wondering what's going on. Put it on the floor. Put it not on your person. Okay? Physically, spiritually, and mentally, give that to God now. Sometimes in my life, I go over and over and over and over things with God, and I ask him to sort stuff in my life. And big things that I have no control over, I keep going back to him and pleading with him for. When actually, if I've prayed about it, if we've just prayed and asked God to show us what we need to surrender to God, and we've written it down, and we've put it down, I want you to leave it there. I want us to give it to God and trust God that he's going to answer with a crumpled up piece of paper. Because God is that good. God is so that good. God may not fix that problem in your life immediately the minute you walk out here. You might get a phone call when you walk out and you go in the car, but I don't know. But God is that good. We need to give this stuff to God, and we need to let him do what he does with it, because he's sovereign. He heals the brokenhearted, because he proclaims the year of the Lord's favor, because he opens the idea of the blind, because he anoints, because he's filled with power, because he wants to bring change. And I truly believe God wants to bring change, but he has to deal with me first. He has to deal with me first. He has to deal with the things I harbor in my life that I don't love, and he wants me to surrender. So in doing this, if this is just you surrender a little part of whatever it is in your life and letting go, do that. Go and leave it with God. And leave it with God. Because he's sovereign. Because he knows you so intimately, he loves you so intimately, so much more than we could ever possibly imagine. And these things around with us, and if we're honest, we could probably fill a page with lots of different pieces of paper, and we carry these things around with us in our metaphorical backpack, and they weigh us down and they slow us down. And he said, cast all of your cares on me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. But we like to be burdened because, I don't know, we just like to hang on to this stuff. We just need to give it to God and say, okay, I'm going to leave that with you now. I don't want to come back to it because I'm going to leave that with you, God, and I'm going to leave you to sort it. I'm going to leave you to fix it. Do what you do in your time. I'm going to trust you. We used to sing an old song in our upbringing. And the words of it came to me yesterday. And I sung it 100 times and never really got the words really properly. We don't sing it at Bethel. I'm not sure drums would go with it, but although you guys did an awesome job this morning, thank you. That was really beautiful. It was written in the 1800s. And it says, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Saviour, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, make me, Saviour, wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessings fall on me. Guys, I want to just put something to you again this morning. If you want to experience freedom in Christ, if you want to experience the freedom that he's promised us, we've got to let go. We've got to surrender. And this was just a practical thing that we can do, and this is something I've been doing in my head with a few things over the past few weeks. And it's so releasing when we can get to that stage. I'm just going to give it to you. I'm going to trust you that you're going to work. A couple of people have been praying that God would heal them, and I thought, well, actually, I'm going to stop praying about it, and I'm going to stop thanking God that he's going to do what he was going to do. And it puts a whole different perspective. I'm not saying we stop praying at all, guys. But sometimes we can be so burdened, we can have things that are so heavy on us. Sometimes we just need to let it go. We need to give it to God. Let me close with a verse I read earlier. So if the Son sets you free, Father, Lord, we do thank you and praise you for your amazing word. We thank you, Jesus, that you love us so much. We thank you that we can just open your word and it can speak so deeply to us. Lord, it's a living word. It's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword that pierces our soul. Lord, I pray you, as believers, you would give us a love for your word. Such a longing to be in your presence. To really, really step into your presence. To feel your presence, Lord. So often we shut you out. And I know in my own life I shut you out because I'm not really happy with what you're saying sometimes, Lord. And it's uncomfortable. I pray, Lord, this morning you'd help us all just to lay everything at your feet. We would just be able to completely surrender to you. The things we've written down and crumpled up, Lord, I pray you would just take them. Whether it's people or situations or lives or whatever it might be, you would just take those things, Lord, and you would just, sovereign Lord, we know you're in control anyway. You would just answer those prayers. We thank you that you're a loving Heavenly Father. We thank you that you are so much bigger than we give you credit for often. Give us a real sense of what it means to be continually in the presence of the one who created the universe. Just give us a sense of your awe and your mightiness and your power and your holiness today, Lord, we pray. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done, all that you're still doing, all that you've promised to do in the future. I pray you would just bless us, Lord Jesus, as we go back to our homes and our families and continue with our Christmas and New Year celebrations, Lord. Would we still put you at the center? Would we realize, Jesus, that you're not just for Christmas? That this might just be a marker in the sand for us, Lord. Where you become the focal point of our lives and our days and our minutes and our hours, Lord. Would we speak of you? Would we want to be with you? Would we want to others to know about you, Lord Jesus? Yeah, I pray these things in your precious name. Amen.
And as we sing, thank you, Lord, for the refreshing time. Thank you for we surrender those things unto you, and we know you take them off us, for your burden is light and your yoke is easy. Splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. And how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Overseeing, how great is our to rage his stand. Time is in his hands. Beginning and the earth. Beginning and the end. God is free in God. Sing with me, how great Savior of the whole world. We bless your holy name. We thank you for Christmas. We remember the birth of our Lord and Savior. We thank you because you did not stay back in heaven, but you came. You did not just come, but you came to set us free, to give us that peace that we so desired, that salvation, oh God, the freedom, oh God. We thank you because without you, we are nothing. Thank you for we surrender all to you this morning. Blessed Savior, be thou glorified. As we look to the weak, oh God, we ask that your strength be there for us. Even in our time of weakness, we ask that you be there for us, oh God. In all, Lord, everything that we go through, we give it all to you. Be thou glorified. Thank you because we know we've got victory in Jesus. There's victory in your name. We proclaim your name, oh God. Be thou exalted. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. And God bless you all. And see you sometime next year.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.